There are female reciters of Quran. Women have the ability to recite Quran very beautifully. And so I think she's at the forefront of doing that. Recently, I came across this app, Qadia. I'm not encouraging the brothers necessarily to download the app, but I want all the sisters to, you know, download this app. It has over 80 female reciters of Quran. And I'm sure it's an incredible thing to be able to hear women recite Quran for our sisters. And so she's at the forefront of that. She's a Qadia herself. In addition to that, she does a lot of work in the Bay Area where she lives. She is also a scholar. She has a degree from Al-Azhar University. There are many, many people who benefited from that institution, and it's such an honor to have her with us. So inshallah, I'll invite her to the stage to speak for about 20 minutes or so. Afterwards, we're going to hear from our brother Sami, who I introduced before, our favorite, I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, but our favorite political analyst about American affairs from the UK. And lastly, someone who needs no introduction, I'd like to invite Imam Anas up, who will speak to us. He is someone that we all know, a local scholar, a local imam, does a lot of youth work, is unaffiliated with organizations, but is always, mashallah, supporting every organization, everybody's just here. And so inshallah, I'll invite Usana Maryam up to come speak about the Quran that is the ocean that is the Quran, and the impact of the Quran in our lives.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه والصلاه والسلام على رسول الله. In Ramadan, many of us seek certain surahs that you want to hear, right? Maybe some of you are looking for Surah Ar-Rahman and you can't wait for Tarwiyah when you get to hear that surah. Maybe you want to hear Surah Al-Duha. Maybe there's a specific ayah and a specific surah that you wait all Ramadan to be able to hear, and you feel like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is maybe speaking directly to you when you hear that surah. And every Ramadan, there's a set of verses that I seek. Of course, we all seek all of the Quran. We love all of the Quran. But there are different surahs for different realities in our life. And so this particular Ramadan many years ago, I was waiting for this set of surahs. In my masjid, they do a juz a night. So I expected that I would hear it on a particular night. But I had moved to a new city. And I was shocked to find that they don't recite one juz a night. And every night they pick a completely different surah. So I went from one masjid to another, trying to catch that set of verses. And subhanAllah, I didn't. In the last 10 nights, I flew back to spend the last 10 nights with my family. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that I would learn that my grandfather was sick. And we went to the hospital, and my grandfather, rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah have mercy on him, and all of our loved ones who have passed, and all of the martyrs of Gaza and Sudan, and every single part of this ummah, ya Rab, ameen. My grandfather passed away in the last 10 nights. And this was, he was one of my best friends. Losing my grandfather was something that I think many of you can relate to when you have had personal loss. And if you haven't had personal loss, and may Allah protect all of your families, you can relate in seeing the pain in some small way of what Gaza is experiencing, except to another level. They can't even bury their martyrs easily in protection. So after we went to the janazah and we finished the burial, rahmatullah alayhi, my grandfather and all of our loved ones, that night I went to the masjid. And for the first time, the imam who always recites one juz a night, who there's no way he would be at the beginning of the Quran for the verses that I was looking for. That night, he started reciting the verses that I had been seeking. And his story is that there was a young boy who was being trained to be a sorcerer by the king. And as he was trained to be the sorcerer, he also found a monk on the road, and he would stop and he would learn from the monk, and then he would go to the palace and he would learn from the sorcerer. And then eventually there was a big boulder on the road, and he thought, let me test what's going to work, what I'm learning about Allah or magic. So in Allah's name, he was able to open the path. And then he began to cure the sick in Allah's name, including one of the people who were part of the king's intimate crowd, who became blind and went to this man. this young boy who healed him in Allah's name. So when one of these advisors came back to the king and he said, how did you get your vision back? And he said, Allah cured me. And the king said, I cured you. He said, no, you didn't. And until he was tortured severely, he didn't give up the fact that it was the boy that had, by Allah's power, cured him. And so then the king tried to kill the boy over and over until he couldn't kill him, except with the way the boy said, in the name of Allah, with people, witnesses, and that's when they accepted that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their Lord. And so trenches were built and they were thrown into a fire. They were persecuted, they were murdered, they were massacred in a trench, just like our brothers and sisters, our brothers today in Gaza are being massacred. And yet, they didn't recant their faith. That is the surah that the people of Gaza, over and over, are fighting in the pockets of their martyrs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to them. And when we come on the day of judgment, or in the hereafter, and when we are asked, what did you do? Many of us are going to say, inshallah, we boycott, we lobbied, we donated, we tried. But you sometimes might feel helpless. Don't you feel like we've done all of this, but it hasn't changed? It has changed. And one of the questions that I think we need to ask ourselves when it comes to Quran is, have we changed with Quran? What has our relationship with the Quran been like in this past year? And if it hasn't changed, I want to share with you the story of one of the tabi'un. He was, of course, righteous. For those who are not familiar with the term, this is someone who met the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone in their community passed away. And this man was known to drink alcohol, and he was known to commit major sin. So when he had his janazah, this tabi'i decided he's not going to go to the janazah. He decided not to go. And that night he had a dream. And in this dream, this man, who was known for not living a righteous life, he appeared in the dream in paradise. And he said to this man, why didn't you come to my janazah? So when the tabi'i woke up, he went and looked for someone who knew him, who knew that person who had passed. And he asked him, how did you appear in my dream? And the response was, did you not know that every single Friday, this man would go and visit the orphans of the city? He would gather them together. He would bring them something sweet. He would play with them and pat their heads. And he would ask them, make dua that Allah blesses me with repenting. And 3 days before he passed, he repented. The Quran is a door for every single person in whatever place you are in your life. And many people tell me that they feel like they're too old, they don't know where to start. They're too old, I think, is very, very funny. Because I was approached by a 16-year-old girl who had tears in her eyes and cried because she had not yet memorized the Quran. And I told her, mashallah, you're 16. You want to memorize the Quran at 16? Mashallah, that's amazing. She said, yeah, but everyone else around me memorized it at 12. Mashallah, you just need a new community friend. Because memorizing at 12 is a blessing and an honor, mashallah. But 16 is still very young. And I still get that question from people in their 20s. And by 30, people say I'm too old. My Quran teacher, Sheikh Mohid Fullah, one of his students memorized the entire Quran in her late 70s. She would go every single day with her grandchild. And it took her years until she memorized the Quran. Are we going to be alone in our graves? Yes or no? No! When you have the Quran will be with you. The Quran will come to you. Surah Al-Mulk that you recited every single night will be a protector for you. The Quran will come so beautifully in the shape of a person. Asking, do you not recognize me? And you see this man and you say, I don't recognize you. This is the Quran that made your throat so thirsty. Where you struggle to recite, where sometimes you feel isolated from people because You struggled with navigating what the Quran says, with maybe what people are encouraging to you to do, but you tried, and if you made a mistake, you repented. This is that Quran. It doesn't leave you in the hereafter. So when we're looking at building a relationship with the Quran, some of us know we have ups and downs. But first, looking at how to build the Quran in an emotional context, is looking at the Quran not as a book, but as a relationship. And I'm going to share with you three different scenarios that happened to me. Number one, I was on a flight last month. The middle seat was empty. There was a man sitting on the aisle. And he told me that he used to work for the airlines. I was like, that's wonderful. He said, I had friends who were the pilots on 9/11. In this moment, I thought to myself, I have no interest in continuing this conversation. Previous me would have been like, dow opportunity. After, you're a genocide me? It's not my responsibility to educate you, but it is my responsibility to make dow, of course. And so I told him, I had a relative in the towers. Alhamdulillah, he's safe. Alhamdulillah, he's alive. Alhamdulillah, he was able to get out. But the way that he looked at me. Now that emotion, when you heard that statement, were any of you like, what a wonderful person to continue to get to know? I want you to feel that emotion. Second, I was on a train. I wanted to sit in a window seat, and the only one available was one where a woman was sitting in the aisle, so I asked her, would you mind moving so that I can sit in the window seat? I said it way more politely, like, hello, how are you? Hope you're doing well. Would it be okay if I sat at the window? She looked at me, looked me up, looked me down, frowned, and said, okay. I was like this. For women who wear a hijab, or maybe men who are more visibly questioned for your identity, do you resonate with maybe sometimes wondering, what was it, my appearance? Or honestly, if you're a person of color or a person from the Black community, we all have reasons why. We sit for a second, and maybe that's our own internal processing, but this moment was one of them that helped me start shifting the way I looked at the world and the way that the world saw me. I thought to myself, you know what, let me just introduce myself. Let me ask her how she's doing. And she told me, I'm on the way to the funeral of my cousin who was my best friend. And so instead of taking it personally, I started talking to her about her cousin and her friend. And we started sitting together, and we cried together, and we hugged by the end. Emotional connection that started out unsure, but became one that was very rooted in compassion and in empathy. Now, I want you to imagine going to the Quran, and you have two different scenarios. Number one, maybe your Quranic experience started as a child when your parents or a teacher or someone in the community maybe harmed you through the Quran. And that's very real. People talk to me about that all the time. Especially because of Fadia, which I'm so grateful that you mentioned, brother, for when you introduced me. Thank you. Fadia is the Woman Quran Reciters app. It is an app for sisters, for you and your children, for families, inshallah, to hear women's recitation of the Quran. We have a strong and long history of women's recitation in our home life. And mashallah, we're so blessed to have recitations of women who have passed away, who were famous reciters or public reciters on the radio of Egypt in the early 1900s. So it's sadaqa jariya for you to listen to them and give them this opportunity to inshallah continue having their voices listened to in Quran. But women have come to me after we put Fadia out, and they've told me their stories on why it was hard for them to listen to the Quran until they listened in a woman's voice. And that makes me very sad, because we should love listening to Abdul Basit and Min Shawi. We should want to hear the Quran from anyone. But the reality is that some people have a negative connotation with it, unfortunately. And so they shared with me, that they were able to come back to listening to the Quran in a way that they hadn't thought. And so I want to share with you, if you are struggling with building an emotional connection with Quran, number one, read it in a language that you understand. The Quran was revealed in Arabic to people who spoke Arabic. And there's also a story, if you read in the tafsir of a surah that has to do with menstruation, that there was a companion, he was a righteous person who was listening. to his neighbor because the walls were very thin and he could hear his neighbor reciting. He was reciting the verses of menstruation. And he's weeping and weeping and weeping. And his neighbor notes in the tafsir, this man was not a native Arabic speaker. And so the neighbor is like, why is he crying about verses on that? And it was so interesting to me to see it noted in the tafsir of the ayah that many of us, myself included, are not native Arabic speakers. And reading it in a language that you understand is so important to access the words of change, of transformation of the Quran. And as you're reading it in Arabic, listen to it. Take courses, inshallah, so that you can continue to build that relationship with it. And number two, approaching it with an awareness that the Quran is interactive. There's an ayah in the Quran that says, حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Until even the messenger said, when is the victory of Allah? And then Allah affirms, indeed the victory of Allah is near. Why was this verse revealed? Because it was the battle of Ahzab. And the companions were so scared, they were being surrounded by all over them. They were being surrounded. And they thought, what's going to happen? They were so terrified. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah. But even the messenger asked, where is the victory of Allah? And sometimes if you've asked that question in the past year, Allah has already answered that question. Indeed, the victory is near. But we just have to keep working. The Quran is interactive. Why does the Quran mention that Maryam said, Ya laytani mit, if only I had died? Why does the Quran mention the companions who wanted to go with the Prophet ﷺ in Surah At-Tawbah on a battle and they couldn't? So what? Tafidhu min ad-dam, their eyes just had so many tears coming down from them. Why did Allah record their tears instead of recording when they said, Alhamdulillah, Allah has the best plan? Did they say that? I don't know. Because the Quran doesn't record it. The Quran records that they cried. Why is it that Maryam's mother, alayhi salam, calls out when she becomes a widow? And now she's facing being a single mother. And in the tafsir of her discussion privately with Allah, she's making dua, she sees she has a girl. And she's disappointed for a second. Not because she doesn't want a girl, but because she had a plan. She was going to submit this baby to Baitul Maqdis to be a servant. Why does Allah include her processing of the information? Why does Allah include the fact that Adam alayhi salam's sons, one of them killed the other? Or the fact that Nuh alayhi salam, with so much emotion, is saying to his son, Yarkab ma'ana, just come on the boat. Every single one of us have pain and struggle that the Quran reflects. And the Quran did not say, be optimistic. Well, of course it's ibadah to be optimistic. But to the point that you never have hope. The Quran did not say, have so much iman that you will never be upset or sad. The Quran was revealed because of sadness. The Quran was revealed because of people being afraid. The Quran was revealed when the child of a prophet turned away. So what about when your child turns away? The Quran interacts with us. When we interact with it, it is ready to interact with us. And subhanAllah, when we have this interaction with the Quran and we come to it with understanding, it seeks answering you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught that if you are so busy reciting the Quran, even if you don't have time to make dua, and I'm not saying like, really make dua from your heart, that even if you don't have time for that, Allah will answer the needs of your heart because you're so busy with the Quran. And I want to end by telling you to seek fame. I want you to seek being famous. But seek being famous with the angels. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He ordered that angels roam the earth looking for your voice reciting the Quran in your home. That your home is illuminated to the sky because of your recitation of the Quran. Imagine that the angels can't do anything except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands them to do. And so as you seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imagine the angels seeking you because they want to hear the words of Allah from your lips and write it as you are the people of the Quran. The Quran means action. So the more that you learn, many of you may struggle with that connection at times. But acting on the Quran, the companions imagined that they saw a verse being revealed, but they didn't necessarily memorize that ayah, but they acted on it. Right now, in the previous session, they were talking about Starbucks, and Sami Hamdi, may Allah bless him, spoke about how the Yemeni coffee shops didn't have that much support because people were going to Starbucks. During COVID, there were so many incidences, sorry, pre-COVID, 2018, there were so many incidences of Starbucks employees either being harassed by Starbucks because they were black, or clients entering and Starbucks employees being racist towards them, that they had to shut the entire Starbucks down just so that they could do diversity training for one day. Why didn't we boycott at that time? The Quran is about changing our life. Whether it is something as small as where my money is going to go, because I do not value giving billionaires the ability to have power over certain decisions or infrastructures that continue to harm people, or whether it's standing in the middle of the night and like one man whose story I'll end with, inshallah, who was known as someone who was righteous, who was known as someone who gave lectures. When he passed away, his son had a dream about him. And this man was in Jannah. And his son asked him, how did you get to Jannah? And he didn't say it was because of the many, many, many hours of Qiyam. Or it was the many, many, many hours of giving lectures, which I'm sure, of course, inshallah, helped by Allah's mercy. But what it was that he would go once a week to a group of illiterate elderly women, and he would teach them Suratul Fatiha. The span, that short span of working on this one deed was enough for Allah to enter him into paradise. And sometimes when we feel as if what we are doing is nothing, remember that Salah ad-Din conquered Jerusalem by Allah's mercy, but it was because of the people whose names are not known who supported him. And he said it was the dua of the people who are in their homes, who cannot be with us. Those people like you who are reciting the Quran, who are donating, who are doing everything you can and you don't see the effort, you don't see the fruit, those people sometimes passed away before they saw Aqsa open, just like Nur ad-Din and the work he did until Salah ad-Din came. But what did he say? Their dua allowed for the arrows to hit their mark. Every time you go to the Quran, make the intention, oh Allah, let this be an arrow that hits its mark. Because you don't realize the power of our ummah if we were to turn to the Quran collectively, how it would be able to shift us for our liberation from our own selves. And this ummah all together.